Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. I want to tell you a story about a young man named Bobby Driscoll. Bobby Driscoll was what you might call a natural-born actor. When he was 5 years old, he was at the barber shop with his father in the early 1900s, and he was just being like any, you know, five-year-old kid, just kind of being active and doing a little song and dance routine. And the barber, his son, was into acting, and he told Bobby's dad, "Hey, you should consider getting him into, you know, motion pictures," what they called it at the time. And so he had an audition, and as a young boy, his career took off. He got little parts here and there, and finally he connected with someone very up and coming at the time who was doing very well. He connected with Walt Disney, and he starred as Jim Hawkins in Disney's Treasure Island, and he won a special Academy Award at just 12 years old for Hollywood's Outstanding Juvenile Actor. 12 years old, already winning an Academy Award. Amazing. You see the picture here? There he is with Walt Disney. And later on, he became the voice in the live-action model, because at the time when they were doing the old Disney animated movies, they would have the voice actors, and they'd have live people act out the words and scenes for the animators to draw. Very interesting stuff. But he was also not only the voice, but the live-action model for Peter Pan, Disney's Peter Pan. I'm wearing my Peter Pan shirt this morning. It's my son Seth, my special needs son Seth, his favorite movie since he was, oh my goodness, probably 3 years old. We had the VHS and a little TV with the VCR, and he would wear that thing out. Still to this day, if you're in our house, you can hear, as he's on his little iPad, you'll hear, "Think of a wonderful thought, any merry little thought." And you'll hear Peter Pan playing all year round, and it became one of my favorite movies. And I think it's very fitting for my son Seth, who has severe nonverbal autism. He's going to be 13 in January, but he's still young in his heart as he grows. Don't cry, Dad. Don't make me cry as I'm saying it. His grandson's going to be 13. It's crazy. But Peter Pan says, "I'm never going to grow up," and I feel like Sethy will be my little boy for so long, and that's a gift from the Lord. But Bobby Driscoll was the voice of Peter Pan, and that movie did great. And to the outside world, Bobby had it all. Talent, success, fame, and a future in Hollywood that seemed limitless. You can go to the next photo, Donald. But the same thing that should have been natural growing up became his downfall. As Bobby began to grow older, like we all do, Bobby began to get really severe, not just little pimples here, but very severe acne. And his voice obviously started to change, and he lost kind of those boyish good looks, and that boyish voice, and some of that charm faded. And Hollywood, like they always do, quickly lost interest in Bobby Driscoll. His unfortunate, you know, acne issues left scarring on his face, and Disney, unfortunately, prematurely ended his contract. And the very industry that once applauded him turned its back on him. He tried to find his way again, but rejection followed him. Bobby Driscoll is known to have said later, as he began to get a little bit older, that Hollywood put me on a silver platter and then dumped me in the garbage can. He turned to drugs later in high school. His mom took him out of the Hollywood actor school that he was in and put him in the regular public high school, which that didn't really do well for him. He was bullied. He was the voice of Peter Pan, this actor. Nobody really wanted to be friends with him. He turned to the wrong crowd, got into drugs, got in trouble with the law, was in and out of jail as he got out of high school into those early 20s. Eventually, he left Hollywood altogether, hoping for a fresh start in New York. But even there, his reputation followed him. He drifted from place to place, always struggling with either drugs or alcohol, never really finding purpose in his life. He was broken and seemingly forgotten. Unfortunately, on March 30th, 1968, Two young children were playing in New York in an abandoned apartment building and came across the dead body of 31-year-old Bobby Driscoll, who had died as a drug-addicted, alcoholic, homeless man. Heartbreaking story. When I read this the first time, I'm like, man, that's kind of a bummer. Like I think about Peter. Every time I watch Peter Pan, I think of the sad demise of this young man. I'm 35. At 31 years old, his body was found. They didn't know who it was. So when the police came and the morticians came and everybody, he was buried in a pauper's grave in New York on Hart Island. It wasn't until years later, as they began to do more research and his mother was still alive and wondering what, that they had to dig up his remains and through dental records found out that they had buried years before, with no name, Bobby Driscoll. Here was the boy who never wanted to grow up, the voice of Peter Pan himself, and tragically, it was growing up that seemed to have cost him everything. But here's the difference for us believers. In the Christian life, growing up doesn't ruin us. It renews us. Growing as a Christian in our faith doesn't strip away our purpose like it seemed to do with Bobby Driscoll. And I think about it so often, I guess this is my pastor's heart, that I just wish someone had reached out and maybe shown him the love of Jesus. Maybe someone did, he rejected it, we don't know. But all he thought that all he had, his only purpose was to act. And when it began to fade away, he turned to everything else to find purpose, and it ruined his life and it ended his life. As a Christian, as a child of God, growing doesn't strip away our purpose, it deepens our purpose. Growth never ruins your story, it redeems it. Amen. Growth in Jesus doesn't diminish you, it develops you. It doesn't destroy you, it delivers you. Because when we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we don't lose ourselves, we find life, and we find life more abundantly. We are called to grow. Peter ended his letter. We read the scripture, 2 Peter 3:18. He ended his letter with this command, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the title of today's message is, I believe that growth is God's plan. I believe growth is God's plan. And with growth, true growth as a child of God, true growth as a disciple of Jesus Christ leads us to things. It leads us, it changes things. And I have four things to share with you this morning, and we'll be through. True growth, number one, leads to going forward. True growth as a Christian, as a child of God, as a disciple of Christ, leads to going forward. Growth in Christ will not let you stay where you are. When God saves you, He saves you to move, to go forward. Philippians 3:13, Paul said this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's growth. Pressing forward. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We are called to grow. And growth in Christ, my friend, leads to going forward, to taking another step, to getting stronger, to whatever it may be in our faith. It leads to going forward. When you grow in grace, when you grow in Christ, you don't just sit still. The cross calls you out of your past, and the resurrection pushes you into your future. Acts 4 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. When you're growing in Christ, just like I said in Acts, you can't keep the gospel to yourself. We cannot but speak the things which you have seen and heard. I would hope, my friend, that the things that you've seen God do in your life have stirred up some emotion in your soul where you're like, man, God is so good to me. I've trusted Him. He's never failed. Look what God has done. And all that those miracles and all those answers to prayer. And how about just the fact that you're saved on your way to heaven, a relationship with God the Father. He's forgiven me of my sins. He's forgiven me of my past because of all that he's done for me, all that I've seen him do, all that I've read in his word, his love for me. Because of all that, I've got to tell somebody else. I've got to share that love. I've got to worship in spirit and in truth on Sunday morning because I don't care who knows it. I love God and God's been good to me. Amen. True growth leads to going forward. You've got to move forward and share it. You say, well, I don't really want to. Maybe you're not growing. The message is about true growth. So if you're not moving forward, if you don't have a heart, listen, I understand we have some people that are shy and maybe more introverted, but if you don't even have a desire to share the gospel or share the love of God with somebody else, you have to consider the strong fact that you're probably not growing the way God is calling you to grow. If you are fine sitting in your salvation, sitting in your eternal security, and you're like, yes, I'm going to heaven. This is great. I'm glad. I don't got to worry about hell. We sang this morning, hell lost the other one. I'm free. And that's really all that matters to me. God help us if that's our heart. God help us if that's our heart. Because all that God did for me, are we going to be selfish with the gospel? Are we going to be selfish with the answer, with the cure? No, true growth as a Christian leads to going forward. Just like a baby doesn't stay crawling forever, Christians should not be staying stuck forever. I have the opportunity right now to have little Israel living at my house, and I've watched him go from just a little infant baby to now that kid won't stop. He is moving, he's army crawling, he's pulling himself up, and every day it seems like this kid is just ready to run out the front door. He's growing like he should. It's natural. And for a Christian, a child of God who loves Jesus, who wants to please God, who wants to strengthen their relationship with God, the natural response should be growth. And true growth leads to going forward. To going forward. I used to sing this song as a kid. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What's the next part? No turning back. No turning back. I'm not going back. I'm moving forward. Growth means forward motion. No turning back. Ask yourself, am I moving forward in my Christian life, in my faith? Do I have a desire to share my faith with others? Because true growth leads to going forward. True love, true growth number two leads to giving generously. Leads to giving generously. That's the second point. Should be right up on the screen right now. You can measure, listen, you can measure spiritual growth by your generosity. You say, what? Really? Why is that? Because the gospel is the ultimate act of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 8, for he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Our God is a generous God. Not only does he give us the breath in our lungs, not only does he give us the strength in our legs, not only does he give us the house of God, the opportunity to pray, but God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. Our God is a generous God, and true growth as a child of God leads to giving generously. The cross is God's generosity on display. Jesus gave his life. God gave his son. The Spirit of God gives us power. So if we are growing in grace as we're called to do, how can we not become givers ourselves? We give our time to serve those who are growing. We give our time to serve. We give our talents to build the church. We give our resources to advance the gospel. We give consistently to the work of God so that the light can stay on, so we can grow. We give sacrificially, consistently, faithfully. We give our lives as living sacrifices. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. True growth leads to giving generously. Praise God. We've had so many people volunteering lately. We've got 3 schedules we just put up, and I meant to announce this too, but we got schedules up in the sensory room, in the nursery, and in the kids' classroom. 3-4 months out of people willing to serve and help. Praise God. But guess what? We still need more. I need some ushers. Not to do offering plates, but to, see that empty chair back there? Right behind, right here by the offering plates. You can look and see it. I'd love for us to have a different person each week, a different guy each week that can sit there. And if visitors come in or guests come in, he can say, oh, there's some seats right over there. Oh, hey, an usher makes sure, hey, kids are running around the lobby. The usher's like, hey, get back in there and sit down and listen. Okay, that's what we need ushers for. We need people that are saying, hey, I can be here every week and hold signs up and welcome people to church. We need some parking attendants. I haven't seen the parking lot yet, but I bet it's pretty full, especially since we can't use this side. It's probably really full. Normally we have this side too. We don't today. I bet you it's full. We need some parking attendants. See those cones out there? We're going to hopefully be using those. We got some parking yellow, vests, thank you, that we have people. Hey, I'll help with parking. I'll be out there and guide people where they need to go so that everything is organized and looking good. That's a good problem to have, that we need parking attendants, but we need it. I would love it. There may be someone in this room that's like, hey, I'm pretty good at taking pictures with a nice camera. We need a church photographer. I love doing it, but guess what? I can't do it. I'm preaching. We need someone that says, I can do that. You see, we give of our time. We're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to make some sacrifice so that we can give. Growth means your hands open wider. Spiritual infants, spiritual babies say, mine, mine. That's my seat. That's my time. I don't want to. But spiritual maturity says his. Spiritual infants say mine. Spiritual maturity says his. Whatever he wants, he can have. True growth leads to giving generously. To giving. There's one song that I can think of, and I'm going to make sure this AC is on because I'm getting hot. Maybe it's just me, but it keeps kind of resetting. I don't know what the problem is, but hopefully it'll work now because I'm sweating. Growing up in church, in the church camps, there was one song that always seemed to play at the end of a sermon. And that song, after the sermon was over, they would call and say, hey, if you want to make a decision for God, if you want to be saved. And sometimes it would just be the piano playing. Sometimes it'd be someone singing it, but the song would say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. And the chorus would say, I surrender all, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Because when you see the cross and what Jesus did, surrender isn't loss. It's worship. Amen. It's worship. Yes, true growth leads to giving generously. True growth next leads to gaining knowledge. It leads to gaining knowledge. Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next slide says true growth. Donald, you got the next slide? True growth leads to gaining knowledge, if you're writing these down. Peter said in 2 Peter, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This isn't just head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It's not just knowing about God. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing him. It's knowing him. Paul said in Philippians 3, that I may know him. Now know about him that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Jesus himself prayed in John 17. He said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Growth means moving beyond the surface. I love people that come to church and get saved and get baptized and love Coastline. I think that's great. I love that people love our church. I want you to love God more. I say, well, you know, I know this and I know that, and I know the songs and they're really great, and I know that scripture. I want you to know God. I want you to know Jesus. Amen. True growth as a Christian leads to gaining knowledge. You read the Bible not just to fill time or not just to mark off a checkbox so you feel better. You read the Bible not just to fill time, but to hear his voice. You pray not just to recite words, as some religions might do, where they just repeat and do this and say these things. No, you pray not just to recite words, but to meet with your Savior. You obey the scriptures not out of duty, but out of delight. That's gaining knowledge. The more you dwell on the cross, the more you think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the more you let the gospel penetrate your heart, the more you grasp his love, how much he loves you, the more you consider the empty tomb, the more you trust his power. He rose again that third day. I can trust him. The more you know Jesus, the more you want to be like him. True growth leads to gaining knowledge. I'm not saying we're not busy. I'm not saying that your mornings are about to get a lot busier with kids going back to school. I'm not saying that your work schedule isn't crazy. I know that's reality. So is mine. But that doesn't give us the excuse to not walk with God. That doesn't give us the excuse to not grow. We are called to grow. We are called to move forward, give generously, yes, and gain knowledge and know God in a greater way. That's what we are called to do. So yes, if you're a brand new Christian, oftentimes it is the brand new Christians that want to get in the Word. Man, they want to pray. They'll read through a whole book of the Bible in one sitting because it's all so beautiful and fresh. It's those who've been saved a while. It's those who've been in church a while. Isn't that funny? You'd think it'd be the brand new believers that don't know, that seemingly don't know any better, that you'd have to be like, don't forget to read your Bible. You don't have to remind a new believer to read their Bible. They want to read their Bible. They want to hear. You don't have to tell a new believer to pray. They're excited. They'll pray every chance. Hey, you don't have to tell a new believer to tell someone else about God. You can't stop them. They're fired up. It's us, isn't it? Those who've been in church a while. Those who grew up with it. To where it becomes so common. I'm ashamed sometimes at myself. I'm ashamed at myself. Forget being a pastor. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a child of God. That's right. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes because I let myself get so busy that I feel like I'm giving God scraps. If I even do that. It's convicting. When's the last time you really spent time with God? Those of us who serve the Lord. Those of us who want to serve the Lord in the church. We want God to use our lives. We want God to use our talents and our abilities, and we'll give, but we won't even take 10 minutes and get in the Word of God. Oh God, I love you so much. I know I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks, but I was at church. I was helping in this. I was doing this. God, help us. True growth leads to gaining knowledge. Serving in nursery is amazing, but that doesn't change your life. It's super helpful to me and to our church, and it's important to serve God. Singing on a worship team. technically it's not going to change your life because anybody can get up here. I could bring a person from the street that never doesn't know God. I could teach them a song. I could show them the notes. They could learn the melody. They could learn the harmonies. I could say, hey, don't forget at this part, make sure you raise your hand up high. And they could do it. And you wouldn't know any better. You'd be like, wow, what a great worshiper. Listen, when I'm up here leading worship, it better be real to me. When I'm up here playing the guitar, it better be real to me. Because true growth as a Christian leads to gaining knowledge. More about Jesus would I know. Old him. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. It's about Jesus every single time. The foundation, the steadiness. It is he who pulled me out of a pit. It is Christ who delivered me. It is Christ who rescued me. Listen, not the church. It's God. We need the church. Christ died for the church. Hallelujah for the church. But the church didn't change my life. Jesus changed my life. Jesus saved me. Jesus delivered me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is him. Amen. And true growth leads to gaining knowledge. Do you know Jesus or do you just know about him? True growth leads to gaining knowledge. And lastly, this, before I get too hyper. True growth leads to greater love. It really is a perfect follow to the last one. The ultimate test of growth is love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. Strong words from Paul. If I could do all these other things, but I don't have love, I am nothing. John 13 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Jesus said it. If ye have love one to another. Love is the mark of maturity. And the gospel is the display of love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you truly begin to even grasp a sliver of that truth, you can't help but grow in love. You can't help but grow in your love for others. Love for God and what he's done. Love for the word of God and what it says and what it does and the fact that it's a living word of God and it can change your life. When you begin to grasp just a sliver of what the cross means and what the cross represents and what the cross did for you and me and the whole world, when you begin to grasp just a speck of that, your love grows. For God, for his word, for prayer. And prayer doesn't become a chore. It becomes a privilege. Where you're like, man, I get to talk to God. What a privilege. What a gift. Your love for his people, the church. Your love for the lost. Those who don't know God. Where now, instead of being irritated at every little thing, you see people through the lens of God's love. And instead of being like, man, what a jerk that guy is, my coworker. Instead, you might think that for a minute, but the Spirit of God, as you've been growing, says, yeah, but you don't know what he's going through. You don't know what happened this morning in his life. You don't know what the phone call that he got yesterday. Yeah, he's in a bad mood, he's treating people bad, but you don't know. And suddenly, that heart of cynicism and judgment turned into a heart of love where it's compassion, and compassion makes the difference. And that, my friend, is what we're called to. We're called to greater love. And all we have to do, we can love because he first loved us. When you begin to grasp the love of God in your life, you can't help but love others. You can't help but love his word and all those things. It's not going to be fun, but for us this morning in the house of God, we have to stop and ask ourselves these questions. How's my love? Spiritually, how's my love? Do I love the Word of God? Does it matter to me? Do I love prayer? Do I love the people of God? Do I love the house of God? Do I love God? And let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be brutally honest with ourselves. Because if the answer to those questions is not really, we have to figure out why we're not growing. Why am I not growing? Maybe I'm stuck in this sin that I just haven't given up yet. It's this addictive, whatever it may be. Maybe it's apathy. You just don't care. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe you're so busy in life that you're just not growing. You attend church, but you're not growing. You have to make adjustments. Life is hard. No one said it was going to be easy. And the Christian life is hard. No one said that was going to be easy. But God gives grace, and we're called to grow. The trials that you're facing right now are part of growth. We can look at them. We can hate them. Been there, done that. I understand that. Those trials that we have in life, we can wish they were gone, but they're not going anywhere right now. So let's grow in them. By the grace of God that He freely gives, His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'll trust Him. I'll grow. John 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Growth. "So shall ye be my disciples." Growth without love is pride. Yeah. Yeah. But growth with love, in love, that looks like Jesus. Because of the gospel, because Jesus died on the cross, He rose again on the third day, He offers eternal life. Because of Jesus and what He did, you have the ability, you can grow in grace. The cross erases your past. The empty tomb secures your future. The Holy Spirit empowers your present, your now. So ask yourself, am I growing? Am I growing as a Christian? Are you going forward? Are you giving generously? Are you gaining knowledge? Are you showing greater love? Because here's the truth. You cannot grow without the gospel. You can try really, really, really hard to be a really, really, really good Christian and do all the things that you think you're supposed to do, but it's not a do thing. It's been done. Jesus did it. It's resting in His love and grace. Do we change habits? Do we cast aside sin? Do we tear down those thoughts and temptations? Yes, yes, by the grace of God. But it's not a checklist that if you do this, this, and this, then you are a good Christian. No. It's knowing Jesus. Because when you get to know Jesus, naturally you will do what you're supposed to do. You will live how you're supposed to live. When you get to know Jesus, when you rest in Jesus, you'll respond and react how you're supposed to respond and react. It's Jesus every time. If you believed on Jesus, if you've trusted His death and resurrection, then really, if that's all real in your heart, then you really can't help but grow. But oftentimes we allow things to hinder that growth. If you've never trusted Christ this morning, that's where growth begins, with salvation, trusting in Christ. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," Romans 10, 13. He died for you. He rose for you. It's a free gift of salvation. We are all sinners, and the payment and wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be saved today. You can give your heart to Jesus today. He can save you. Don't wait another moment. That's where growth begins. And if you're a Christian today and already know Jesus, are you growing? I believe that growth is God's plan. The question is, do you? Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart.
please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.